أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. Continuing with Asma'ul Husna, the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we will look at Al-Quddus. And we start Surah Al-Jumu'ah, which we're all very familiar with. With the ayah Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yusabbihu Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi al-Malikil Quddus al-Aziz al-Hakim. So the ayah starts off about the heavens and the earth and everything in the heavens and the earth, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the attributes Allah gives are al-Malik, which we looked at, al-Quddus, which we're going to look at, and then Aziz and Hakim, which we will look at later on. Now, Al-Quddus is derived from the word Quds, which means purity. It means purity in all aspects. I know when we translate it, we say the holy. But in essence, what we're trying to say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and free from all flaws, from all defects, from all errors, from all drawbacks, from anything that you might classify as a fault. He is above all human weaknesses, and it means the one who is so pure, so holy, that his characteristics cannot be perceived by the senses. You know, the human being by nature, all of us, we're averse to everything that we perceive to be defective or faulty. And by nature, we are inclined towards absolute perfection. Now, although people vary regarding their identification and perception of perfection, each of us, having perceived something as an ideal, turns towards it. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Every existence has a goal, has something it inclines towards. So seek the best. In fact, as human beings, when we find something better or higher, our attention diverts. But for a moment, if we ponder on Al-Quddus, on the perfection of our Rabb, we will realize that our search is over, because perfection lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have acknowledged His perfection and purity, it will evoke in us a reverence, an awe. And when we stand before Him, especially during Salah, we will stand with cleanliness, with tahara, with discipline, with humility, and a behavior that befits one who is quddus, one who is holy. You know, the reverence or the awesomeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when one has understood al-quddus, affects the human being so much that, let me give you an example of Muqaddas Ardabili, a great alim of ours. He never stretched his legs even when he slept. And he never explained this particular habit of his to anybody else. In the last moments of his life, he had no choice but to stretch his legs, because if you know you're about to depart from this world, your legs are to be outstretched facing Qibla. And his family and friends heard Muqaddas Ardabili utter some words, and he said, Ya Allah, forgive me for my stretched legs, because at the moment they are a necessity. I never stretched them before for fear of disrespecting you, Ya Quddus, for I know that you are ever present, always, everywhere. But forgive me, for now I must. That was his respect, his awesomeness, his reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Quddus, the holy, the most pure. Now, the way we apply to ourselves psychoethically is to be able to cleanse our hearts. A heart which is cleansed of everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One that is not attached to the material, and it manifests a character which is so pure that it doesn't even have prejudgment of others. You know, in Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I do not fit into the heavens and the earth, but I fit within the heart of my abd. Maybe an anecdote may help to be able to understand what I'm trying to say. It is said that one day a wise man told a king that there was a tree of such wonderful fruit in the Indian subcontinent that whoever ate of the tree lived forever. Now the king immediately sent one of his courtiers in search of the tree, and the courtier travelled throughout the Indian subcontinent in search for it, asking anyone he saw where he could find this tree. Some people professed ignorance, others joked, others gave him false information. And the courtier finally, after many, many years, returned home with his mission unaccomplished. And he sought out the wise man who had told the king of this tree to ask him for more information. And the wise man said that you were running after the form rather than the spirit, and that's why you had failed. He said, I am referring to the tree of knowledge, which is high, fine, expansive, the water of life of the ocean. Sometimes it's named tree, sometimes sun, sometimes lake, sometimes cloud. It has many manifestations, the least of which is eternal life. Its names are innumerable, just as someone they meet may be a father to one and a son to another, or a woman who is a mother to one and a daughter to another. A person may act with anger and vengeance towards one person, with mercy and goodness towards another. A person may have many relational names, yet as one, answering all descriptions, yet being indescribable. He told the courtier, if you seek after names, you will remain hopeless and frustrated. Why do you cleave to the mere name of this tree? Pass over names and look to qualities, so that qualities may lead you to essence. What he was trying to tell him was, don't relate to everything through the form, through cultural biases, through stereotyping. It will serve to divide human beings from one another rather than unifying them. When he was out to search for this material form of the tree, he met so many different types of human beings. He learnt so much about the characters of human beings, and he understood that an outward form can easily lead one into error and delusion. But when one begins to know another human being through a pure heart, it's amazing what you can find. When I talk to children, I give them the example of the four people, the Persian, the Arab, the Turk, and the Greek, who were traveling together. And someone gave all four of them one dirham. The Persian said, I want to buy angur. The Arab said, I want to buy inab. The Turk and the Greek said, each said, one said, well, they wanted to buy uzum, and the Greek said, astafil. Now each of the four words mean exactly the same thing, means grape. But because they were not familiar with the language of the other, they began to argue, thinking each wanted to buy something different with this one dirham. It was only a wise man who finally explained to them that they each wanted the same thing. Al-Quddus is being able to understand that when you apply that to your life, you begin to understand that every human being snores in the same language. We begin to have purity of thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus. He is Al-Holy. Start with pure thoughts and see the difference it makes in your life. If you want a pure heart, recite Ya Quddus 100 times every day, and inshallah the heart will become free of all thoughts and concerns which cause trouble, worry, pain, misconceptions. And if you recite Ya Quddus as many times as possible at sunset, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand that perception in the heart. In other words, expand the heart for you. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue with Asma'ul Husna, and the ism we will look at is As-Salam.